way up north. North to Alaska.
Welcome to A Tourist's World.
Come join Slaughterhouse 4 as they take you on a trip around the world.
Sit back and relax and enjoy your flight. And thank you once again for flying Slaughterhouse 4.
Listen as Bunkhouse 4 member Jennifer takes you on a trip through Istanbul and all of the essential trips you need to make.
Istanbul, Turkey, at the intersection of Asia and Europe on the beautiful Bosphorus River.
New mosque, le dernier des, de l'architecture ottomane, sur la place du New Mosque.
A city with a population of nearly 15 million, it is not surprisingly crowded and noisy. The markets, some centuries old, are just as busy as the streets. Anything and everything is for sale in these markets. Clothing, jewelry, perfumes, rugs, tchotchkes and keepsakes for the tourists. In contrast to the markets and the streets, the Bosphorus River is very peaceful. Like the river, the call to prayer is peaceful and ever-present. Amidst the crowds and traffic, the street vendors and the tourists, this side of Istanbul, the prayers, the call to prayers, the quiet, reflective side can be a relief. It is easy to tune out the other sounds of the city as one nears the Hagia Sophia or the Blue Mosque. The minarets stretching toward the sky are visible from a great distance, and the domes nestle over, in the Hagia Sophia, the gorgeous mosaics, and in the Blue Mosque, the worshippers who are there throughout the day. The Hagia Sophia is no longer a working mosque. It is now a museum one can visit. The Blue Mosque, however, is still a working mosque. You can attend services there to this day. When the markets are too much, the traffic is just exhausting, and even the mosques have gotten you worn out. It's time for a quintessential Istanbul experience, a Turkish bath. A Turkish bath starts with something akin to a steam room, a chance to sweat off the dirt and toxins in preparation for the rest of the experience. Next, an attendant will scrub with chili water, especially after all the steam, and scrub and scrub, followed by a massage. The waters of the bath bring us back to the waters of the Bosphorus River, one of the busiest waterways in the world. Istanbul was born on the shores of the Bosphorus over 1,000 years ago. It remains there today, waiting for your visit.
Sir, madam, your magic carpet is ready. You're traveling with Slaughterhouse 4. Fasten your seatbelts.
Another member of Slaughterhouse 4 will now take you through a trip through India.
My fascination with India started when I was 12 and watched my first Bollywood movie. I fell in love with the music, the dancing and the beautiful costumes. There was something mysterious about the place and I knew I just had to visit it. When I was 23 and had been working as a teacher for a year, I managed to save a nice sum of money. I decided to spend it on a trip to India. That was over 20 years ago, and the memories are vague. I remember the first time I breathed in Indian air. The humidity was so high that I felt like I was breathing water. When asked to describe India in one word, Salman Rushdie chose the word multitude. Tourists coming to India will be overwhelmed by the multitude of people in the streets. Everybody smiles, everybody seems to be completely happy, at peace with their life and destiny. And they are really happy to see you, happy that you have decided to visit them. You feel welcome, you feel at home. Indians are great storytellers. From the street vendor to a school teacher I met in a hotel lobby, everyone has a story to tell. Then there are animals. Once the bus driver had to stop in the middle of a country road because it was blocked by vultures. We got out of the bus and took pictures of them while they posed for us, spreading their large wings. We rode elephants up a steep hill in order to see the palace at the top. I have forgotten the name of the palace, but I still remember how beautiful it was. There are monkeys everywhere. Like naughty children, they will steal your water bottle and throw stones at you, yet somehow you won't mind. Towards the end of our stay, we visited the Taj Mahal. I still remember my excitement. I knew very well what it looked like. I had seen it in pictures, I had dreamed about it. But as I stood in front of the entrance gate to the palace, I was suddenly overwhelmed by a very real fear. I was terrified that the Taj wasn't going to live up to my expectations. Surely nothing could be as great in real life as it was in my imagination. Once the gate opened, however, I felt tears in my eyes. This was just like I had imagined it, and so much better. The white building was enormous, yet it seemed to float above the lake in front of it. The lake itself was a mirrored reflection of the palace. India changed me. I'm sure it made me a better person. I believe so. Though it was nothing like a Bollywood movie. Everything I had experienced in India, the sounds, the smells, the beautiful countryside, the history, the animals, the kind people. I still carry all of that with me. And I hope I will be able to go back one day.
This is Katie the blogger, here to take you on a journey through the exotic lands of Asia. Just sit back, relax, and enjoy. It was around midnight. The rain was pouring down, beating on the hood of the car as we drove from the airport to the hotel. The air was thick of humidity, but the smells were covered by the rain. The scenery was hard to make out as my father and I drove through the various towns. I could only make out that all the buildings were vertical and painted in reds, oranges, greens, and any color you could think of, something hardly seen in the United States. It was the summer of 2007, and I was only 14 years old. I was brought to Hanoi, Vietnam, to teach English and photography to fifth graders. Oh, and I didn't speak Vietnamese, and they didn't speak English. Vietnam in the summertime is extremely hot. The air is almost impossible to breathe, you sweat right when you leave your air-conditioned hotel room, and your hair is in a constant state of frizz. This definitely applies to males, too. Hanoi is anything but quiet. Motorbikes or mopeds own the streets of Hanoi. The noise of engines booming, dense street, honking, people yelling, just a constant traffic noise begins to get to you. It starts to make you a bit crazy. After a few days of traveling around Hanoi, looking at the sparkling rivers with piles of garbage casually floating by, and trying to get hustled to buy state-of-the-art Rolexes, I began to teach. I was fully immersed into the lifestyle of Vietnamese people by living with the owners of the Sunshine School. The house was vertical with four levels and everything was narrow. I slept in a bed with no mattress, unless you would call a wood floor mat a mattress. Apparently it's good for your spine, according to the Vietnamese. I took a taxi to school every day, and for some reason the taxi cab driver liked to rip foreigners off. Not too sure why. Teaching photography and English to kids who don't understand a word you're saying basically meant please bring in a translator so they can stop giving the American teacher looks of disgust. We went on a field trip to a house in literally probably the middle of nowhere. That day, I decided to eat an unwashed apple. Please don't ever ask me why I decided to eat an unwashed apple, but I did. And probably just because it was the only thing that reminded me of America. My body didn't like the unwashed apple, and I decided to puke in my fellow colleague's hat for the entire field trip. I puked for 4 hours on the bus ride back to Hanoi, and I would like to say that I left a pretty remarkable impression on these young elementary school kids. The great Zhang Guo, also known as China. I came here my junior year of high school to expand my knowledge of the Chinese language and understand the culture. Instead, our group was quarantined from the outbreak of swine flu, I'm sure all of you remember that, and we were quarantined next to a brothel/bar. It was quite the cultural experience, to say the least. I don't need to go into much detail, but just imagine hookers, high school kids legally drinking, and being trapped for a week. But I'm here to talk about the Great Wall of China. It was a much more magical experience than some smelly brothel. Beijing is polluted. We all know it. But polluted is actually an understatement. It's disgusting. Breathing the air is the equivalent of smoking 20 cigarettes in 10 minutes. Gross, I know. We took a very long bus ride to visit the Great Wall of China, and to this day, it's probably the most magical place I've ever been in my entire life. If you are ever in China, do not miss the opportunity to see it. You'll heavily regret it, I swear. The air is clean. I could actually breathe in and out without heaving. It was humid, but significantly cooler. I took my first step into the millions of steps that were a part of this enormous wall and wanted to cry. Just stop and think for a moment. This wall can be seen from the moon. It is entirely man-made and in still perfect tact today. A man-made structure around for thousands of years that can be seen from the moon, and I was taking my first step on it. Anyone would have wanted to cry, right? I take my second, then my third, and continue straight up. The air got thinner, my legs were literally turning into jelly, I'm sweating, and now I'm crying because of how much physical and mental pain I'm in. Then, next to me, old Chinese men are trotting up smoking cigarettes and laughing amongst themselves, most likely at the out-of-shape Americans that are attempting to climb the wall. Those Chinese, always so good at everything. There's a belief that people are generally bonding stronger over something they all hate doing. That was most definitely the case here. I don't think I've bonded with anyone as more intensely in my life. The higher we got on the side of the mountain, the less oxygen we had, the more loopy we got, and in the end, the more friendly we got. However, we all made it to the top, and I couldn't have been happier to embrace the moment, look around and realize, wow, this is beautiful, but let's get the f*** down this mountain. The Great Wall of China will be a memory I will never forget. It ended in sweat and tears, but also a feeling of, wow, I'm at the world's greatest wonder in the world, and potentially someone saw me from the moon. No pain, no gain.
Ladies and gentlemen, the captain has turned the seatbelt sign on. Would you man out move around the cabin? However, it's always a good idea whilst you're seated to keep your seatbelt loosely fastened in case we come across any unexpected turbulence.
On DS-106, turbulence is always expected.
Awesome.
Travel with DS-106 on a tourist's world.
Sometimes the most memorable part of a trip is the journey to the destination. Destinations are the ending point, but the trip down is often an experience in itself. My family is making a big move from Maine, the top of New England, to Florida, the southernmost point of the East Coast. This summer we took a small trip to the new house. This means we packed up my mom's minivan and hooked up a U-Haul trailer. Not only were we schlepping furniture and housewares down, but we were not going to leave our pets behind. So in the end, all 13 animals, including 4 dogs, 2 cats, and 7 birds, were loaded into the car. My mother, my sister, and I set out on a journey that we will not soon forget. My mom became the long-distance driver while I navigated, and my sister was in charge of animal control. A drive from Maine to Florida takes a minimum of 2 days, which is a lot of time to spend in a car. I decided to get work done, but technology failed me as my laptop died and we didn't have an inverter to solve my problems. Instead, I had to do my work the old-fashioned way, with pen and paper. Although, the best part is yet to come. Most hotels are not animal-friendly, and those that are probably would not take kindly to an invading zoo. So to make the trip easier on us, my family decided to sleep in the car. I'm not sure how many of you listening have ever tried to do this at a Virginia rest area in the middle of the summer while parked in between two large trucks. It's not the most fun experience. The car becomes an oven, dogs get antsy, trucks are noisy, and lights blind you. So the next morning, on very little sleep, we head out on the open road once more with the idea of sunny Florida in our heads. We finally buy an inverter and a truck stop, and I am finally able to finish my work. The trip ends and we've arrived, but the trip that has got us there will be a story to tell for quite a while. So enjoy and have fun on the way to your final destination.
Places you'll go.